There's no such thing as random encounters. Everything is divinely orchestrated, even though, for the most part, we live as if we are unaware of it. I thought of a very important encounter that I had when I was probably around 10 or 11 years old. My mother used to work in a medical lab where people would come and they would get their blood drawn and get the labs done. And so there were different sections of this lab: biochemistry, hematology, the section, the intake, where you would go in and you would get your blood drawn, and it was always so packed with people. Anyway, I grew up going to my mom's place of work pretty much every morning, because my mom would leave with me when I didn't walk to school, which was mostly my choice, although I wasn't an early riser by preference. So if my mom wouldn't wake me up, I probably would sleep in. That's just the type of person that I was, I guess, even as a child. I liked to dream, so I liked sleeping. Anyway, my mom would wake me up at 6:50 a.m. She would turn the lights on, the headlight, and it would be so bright in the room, and come on, wake up. And it was so annoying, but I would get up and get ready. And I would get ready in about 10, 15 minutes, and I would leave with my mom to her place of work, where I would stay for the next, 30, 40 minutes until I would walk to school by myself. So back to the lab. I was spending quite a bit of time there. I would spend this time in the morning observing what was going on. And I would spend time when I would leave school and come back to my mom's place of work, where I would get to hang out with all the ladies, all the biochemists and the hematologists and all the ladies that were working the blood and all of that. And, I was a kid, so everybody kind of wanted me around. I guess maybe I was an agreeable child, I guess, and they liked me. Not agreeable, but I could see that they were fond of me. So I developed this very, very strong friendship with one of the lab ladies. Her name was Flory, and Flory was probably, I think, 21, 22 when I met her. And I was, 10, 11, 12, something like that. And she became like an extension of my mom. I'm saying that in these words now, today, looking back. But back then, she was filling in some gaps for me. And it seemed like my mom wasn't always emotionally available for me. And I was someone who was very analytical since I was a child. I liked to look at complex processes of thought, I guess, and just go down and philosophize. And I was doing that from very early on, because I was talking to the cosmos and I was talking to the universe, and I would have this inner desire to just, sit down and talk. And my parents were not having that capability, that time, that mind frame, that mostly availability, let's just put it that way, on all levels. So Flory was the opposite. She had all the time for me. And she was braiding my hair. She taught me how to knit. She taught me how to crochet. Well, my mom probably showed me that too. But actually, I learned that in school, but I was practicing with Flory. And yeah, you know, when my mom would say, I would ask her something and she would say, oh, you know, you're so analytical. You don't need to think so deeply about all these things. So I perceived that as something not good about myself, not a good quality about myself. And so I kind of stopped talking to her. I used to talk to my mom, and then I stopped talking to her when I felt that she was shutting me down. Like, yes, I was thinking, but I was a child. I was interested in the world. I was interested in learning. I was constantly asking questions, or when I wasn't understanding an emotion, an internal process. When there is no emotional availability from the parents for the inner processes of emotions and what's going on, the child becomes, well, there's many layers to that. But I can say today that I had to parent myself in so many ways. And I had failed at parenting myself in a loving way for many, many years. Because I didn't really fully experience love in my family. And it's not just a blank statement. It's the experience of what we know, or what we think we know as love, just care and tenderness and grace, approval of parents, support of the parents, encouragement of the parents, all of that was missing. So my brother and I parented ourselves, I guess, probably. Not sure if I can't speak for him, but back to Flory, I thought of her this morning, and I had not thought of her and those years of my life in a very long time. But I am in this container of an inquiry with myself. And I have, as I am asked by my coach, my homework is to write my life story, not as in like writing a novel necessarily, but just looking at my wins, looking at my accomplishments, looking at, you know, things that didn't work out, or whatever the timeline is of my life. There's aspects of it that once I go back, I could potentially see something new, heal a wound, and release it. This is pretty much what we're doing all our life. And there comes a turning point where you see that a perspective needs to change. Quite literally, you're pivoting, you are turning, and the willingness to turn comes from the ego. The ego is the only one who is, you know, the ego self, the one that is thinking that it's doing everything on its own, the one that is, running the errands, doing life in this physical body on the three-dimensional level. And it stops it for the most part if there is no integration with the higher self, which most of us don't have, because we need to experience the duality and the this polarized world. The polarized world lives inside the ego, or And that's one way of saying it. It may resonate with some people, it may not resonate with everybody. But what we're doing here is, if ultimately we are expanding together while we are creating new concepts for our existence. And new concepts involves truly a new mind. And the new mind is only created when we release the old. Her leaving town was meant for me finding a new elevated and smart and expansive friend, because that's what Flory was to me. She was very intelligent. She was reading all the time. She was reading books, and the way she was speaking, it always sounded to me like she was a monk, like a Buddhist monk. She had the wisdom of that. And so she was my my master, I would say, for some time. You know, we are looking for role models unconsciously. It's all set this way because evolutionary. The being is there to expand, to advance. So we are wired to bring forward, to create what we need to get there. So anyway, this is my Flory story today. Interesting that I had the desire to share it. I know that stories is what we stories are what we want to hear, like to hear, like to create, because it is the encapsulation of our life here. And when we hear ourselves telling ourselves our stories, we validate ourselves. So it is important to validate your story, you know. Hence, you know, I was resisting writing down what my coach told me to write my story, but I felt pulled to share this story, this particular chapter, with others. And you never know when you're listening to someone else's story what is being triggered within you then that possibly can have an experience. Instant healing. This is truly what we call quantum healing. It happens in the quantum. And in the quantum, in the world of all possibilities, where everything exists and doesn't exist, it's in the form of pure consciousness, out of which everything is created, right? So if everything comes from pure consciousness, it's like a spark, like a thought. When you start, you know, entertain the same thought over and over again, this is how you reinforce it and you bring it into creation. But the place where everything resides, blooms from, is pure consciousness. And creating ourselves anew requires letting go of what we thought was me. And when we are in the state of, I remember being a teenager, and that was, That's such a definitory time in the way we develop ourselves in using the mind and thinking and empowering ourselves or disempowering ourselves, depending on the environment, the context, the parents, the trauma, the school, everything. Everything is impacting who we become. And as a teenager, that's the time when I feel that there is a lot that I just suppressed quite a bit in those years, which means I had to make sure that I move forward. So whatever traumatic events were happening, I had to bracket them. The mind does that. In an attempt to survive, it starts fragmenting itself. And this fragmentation is what we later in life we have to put together again. Right? So if you hear a story right now that triggers something in you, it triggers something in you because there was a link to it. That can be, it can be a trigger of pain, hurt, and it can be a trigger of great love. It can be a trigger for healing, instant healing. Because when you allow yourself to fully feel that, and if you have the capacity to release it, because there is no reason why we need to hold on to things. We hold on to them because we think we have to, but we don't. We don't have to hold on to what's happening in the household, the fight between my parents, but we are so suggestible and so easily imprintable. The mind is a surface on which things just get imprinted. And some have the capacity to, the imprint is deeper than for others. I mean, that's, no two traumas are the same. Yes, and the context of trauma and all of that. But the mind is an imprinted surface. And the more aware we are in the moment of what's happening, the more we can choose to let that imprint us in a, in a negative way, if it was a negative or difficult experience, or allow it and see it as I agreed for this experience. Can I have an attitude at looking at it as this is an experience? When you can do that, and you see it as an experience, you allow yourself to feel it, but you don't get attached to holding on to it. Okay? It will free you up. And free you up in a way that allows you to just create anew. Not from an imprint of the traumatic thing that just happened and you're holding on to, but to really, you are creating yourself anew every day. So awareness of emotions, awareness of your way of being, awareness of where your attention is, awareness to holding a grudge, awareness to where I shot myself in the foot. Like really getting that we have a lot of resources now, access to information and knowledge, access to a lot of knowledge. And so if we don't take responsibility for who we are, then we continue to hang out or hang in the things that we actually don't want to experience. The state of suffering is a choice. When there is physical suffering, pain, there's how do we experience what's happening? And making a choice when you see, is this an empowering or is it a disempowering context? Am I thinking life is for me or life is against me? So, this is where I landed today with my story. We evolve, we transform, we constantly redefine ourselves. And it's solstice time. The solstice was on the 21st, and now we're gonna have a full moon eclipse. A full moon eclipse is a lot. Is going to ask of us to not lie to ourselves anymore, to be fully authentic, to let go, to drop any layers of inauthenticity. And what is authenticity versus inauthenticity? The only person that you can be authentic with is yourself first. And authenticity means being true to yourself. Because of the level of fragmentation and the traumatic experiences that I had, and I was holding on to, not knowing that I was holding on to, truly, I had a lot of layers to drop to unravel myself to myself. And the essence of who you are is always there, always. Whenever we cut, we're not truthful to ourselves in the moment. And we compromise somewhere. This happens consciously and unconsciously. That's when those breaches in the original blueprints happen. And so you develop these programs now that are breached, and you don't you stop trusting yourself. You start doubting yourself. You start moving more and more away from authenticity, from being authentic. We have to ask questions of ourselves. The higher self responds when we ask questions, like, where am I going next? And it's like, okay, there's no answer, right? There's one level of that. But do you trust that the answer will come? Or do you live in, oh, the answer will not come? There's a fear, there's a blockage right there. So you see how we block ourselves when we get to hang out in fear. So truly, there is no limit to what you can do, who you can be in this life, because this is your life creation. This is your experience that you are designing. You are designing, you're in charge. When you know that, what are you creating for yourself? Are you creating from love? Are you creating from beauty? Or are you creating If there is fear, then just know that you have to look at that fear and see why you're embracing it. Because you can truly do anything. And I'm telling you that as I'm telling myself that. It has to be a constant reminder. Because the consensus of this three-dimensional reality here is that there are limits to the human being and what and who it can be and do. And it's a fencing in. We are being caged in, like we cage animals. So the breaking of these fences is coming from ourselves, from within. Starting to even just say it, because the power of the word is very big. You create with your word, and your word is your power. So are you creating words of liberation? Are you creating yourself into liberation with your constructs of language? Or are you devaluing, deconstructing yourself, going into the other mode, which is not creation. It's destruction and self-destruction. Self-doubt is away from your true self. So how do you find your way back to your true self? This is the process, pretty much the process of our life. And the earlier you want to stay true to yourself, the further you will get in your life, because this is your creation. So every time you choose to disempower yourself somewhere, just know that it keeps you away from your true expression. And that's okay. And that's okay, because you came here to experience life in all its forms. And, you know, we are, generationally speaking, our planet has been enslaved and has been incarcerated and encaged for so long that the awakening that we are going through right now is breaking through those fences together. And so as we are doing it, the frequencies, the energy frequencies and the experiences, the memories, everything that is embedded in the code of pain, hurt, shame, guilt, persecution, invalidation, self-destruction, all these things are starting to be blown up because we're leaving, we're processing, we're moving collectively through them. And so as we're doing it and we are releasing them, we're moving up in frequency. And as we do that, the densities of those frequencies are being left behind and we are becoming lighter. So when we care for ourselves, is when we like truly care, is the way to self-empower, is to feel yourself and know that you are a sacred being. You are from pure consciousness, from created from the God source. So you are a divine being. You have a soul, you have a purpose, you have a mission, you came here to You came in body. It's a one level of experiencing consciousness. So you're pure light. You are a spark, a star. If you want to shine, it does. The stars shine in the dark, right? So the darkness, we got to move through the dark to get to the light. And attitude, right? Attitude. Remind yourself of the attitude that you carry. Wow, I was chatty today. It seems. It's interesting that this portal truly has allowed for a real opening to happen. And look for it within yourself, because what you look for, you will find. So look for good things within yourself. I am the Muse. Until next time, bye.